Yo, 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 what is up, beautiful people? Another day, another dollar. That's right. Welcome to Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin, on this April 23rd, 2015. Hopefully, all of you out there are having one fantastic Thursday. We've got a sizzling hot show to keep you warm on this quite chilly spring day, right? Michigan is just killing us right now, but hey. We're going to keep you warm with incredible Current Sports today. On today's show, of course, we'll chat about Tigers closing pitcher Joe Nathan as he has been ruled out for the rest of the season. We'll chat about those details in just a sec. We'll also talk about the new messiah for the MSU football team. And I will, yes, rant about why I hate the hack a shack that the NBA has adopted in its game, or I should say has allowed in its game for far too long. We'll also talk NBA playoffs, preview tonight's Wings and Lightning game, and we've got a special Throwback Thursday for you involving one of the greatest sports broadcasters to ever do it, folks. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this April 23rd. All right, and we start with the Michigan State football team. They received a verbal commitment from the 2016 class quarterback, Messiah DeWeaver. How about that name? Messiah is his first name. Can you believe that? That's a hot name, I must say. All right, the 6'3", 200-pound DeWeaver is ranked as the number 8 pro-style QB in the nation and the number 8 player in the great state of Ohio, according to Rivals.com. Now, he picked Michigan State over finalist Penn State and Mississippi State. Michigan was also on his list, but he pulled that commitment, option, when Brady Hoke was fired. All right, the Detroit Tigers. Tough news for them today. They announced that closer Joe Nathan, needs Tommy John surgery and will miss the rest of the season. Now, the 40-year-old closer suffered the injury on today's Thursday, right? After exiting a minor league game after just 10 pitches. Now, Nathan is 7th on the all-time saves list with 377. All right, the Tigers also, they lost back-to-back games for the first time this season after the New York Yankees pounded Detroit 13-4, the final of that one. David Price was tagged for 6 runs in the first inning and 8 total in just 2 1/3 innings of work. Now, Anibal Sanchez looks to rebound as the Tigers are back in action against the Yankees in, 5 minutes at 1:08 p.m. All right, the Detroit Red Wings, they are back in action tonight for Game 3 of the Stanley Cup playoffs opening round. The Wings took a 2-1 series advantage after defeating the Tampa Bay Lightning 3-0 on Tuesday night. The puck drop is at 7 p.m. from the Joe Louis Arena in downtown Detroit. All right, the Atlanta Hawks announced that the team is being sold to a group led by billionaire equity and investment fund manager Anthony Ressler. Now, the group, which includes former Detroit Piston Grant Hill, will buy the Hawks for $850 million. That's a lot of moolah, folks. Now, the Hawks won a franchise record 60 games and are, of course, the top seed in the East, but were 17th in attendance per game and are expected to lose moolah this year. So we'll see how that pans out. All right, there was tons of playoff action in the NBA and the NHL last night. The Atlanta Hawks took a 2-0 series lead after defeating the Brooklyn Nets 96-91. The San Antonio Spurs even its series with the Los Angeles Clippers after a 111-107 overtime win. And the Memphis Grizzlies went up 2 games in the series after crushing the Portland Trail Blazers 97-82. Now in the NHL, Ottawa defeated Montreal 1-0. The New York Rangers beat the Pittsburgh Penguins 2-1 in overtime. St. Louis, they cruised to a 6-1 win over Minnesota. And the Anaheim Ducks defeated the Winnipeg Jets 5-2. Well, folks, finally, as I went on my rant during yesterday's Current Sports about the contract not being finalized, well, it is finalized now, and tickets for the Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao fight are finally on sale today and now less than 2 hours at 3 p.m. Now, tickets for the fight are priced at, get this, $10,000, $7,500, $5,000, $3,500, $2,500, and $1,500. You gotta be kidding me, right? Now, the closed circuit tickets, which will be shown only at MGM Properties in Las Vegas, go on sale tonight at 6 p.m. And last but not least, the NFL announced that Dallas Cowboys defensive end Greg Hardy has been suspended without pay for the first 10 games of next year. Now, the decision came following a two-month investigation by the league into Hardy's domestic violence incident last year involving ex-girlfriend Nicole Holder. Now, NFL media insider Ian Rappaport, he reported that Hardy will indeed appeal the decision. Well, those are your Current Sports Quick Hit headliners. If you want to call in, give your thoughts on any of those, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I'll read it right here on the air. Or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Without further ado, hey, it's about that time to really get this thing started. Time to start the show.
Side winners get the steaks, the other side gets the beans and franks there and everything. We'll keep it real as we go through this thing, and we will play throughout the game. We'll play 10-minute quarters as we go. Every quarter will be 10 minutes. If we got to speed one up or something to keep it within the two-hour time limit, that's what we will do. So with that, we'll sort of start the draft here, and we'll go from there. The green team, from what I understand, is first coming in here. I was just out in the green room out here, and I was told that the green team has just recently made a trade to the white team, and the white team will now have the first round pick, with the green team being able to take picks 2 and 3. So, with that selection,
Ryan Allen.
Ryan Allen.
Oh, you know, this is a big day for me and my family, and I'm about just thankful to be here. Go away. Hey.
All right, and with that being said, welcome to Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. And what you just heard was a pretty comical moment during yesterday's Michigan State spring football draft. Now, the MSU football team, of course, held its annual spring game draft yesterday at Spartan Stadium. Now, the ninth such draft under head coach Mark D'Antonio, it opened with a moment of laughter, and you could hear it during that montage there when, of course, the white team took offensive guard Brian Allen with the first overall pick, and Allen strolled across the stage, suited and booted in a suit and tie, holding up a jersey and even taking a picture with D'Antonio, sort of to simulate an actual draft, like you're in an NFL draft or something like that. You come and shake the commissioner's hand and end up taking a picture. It was very, very comical stuff, folks. Connor Cook, Jack Allen, Malik McDowell, and Monte Nicholson are a few of the names leading the white team. Meanwhile, of course, players like Shalique Calhoun, RJ Williamson, Josiah Price, and Ed Davis lead the green team. But it's always a comical time during the, of course, the spring game draft because, you know, it's so laid back. It's a laid back atmosphere. The guys are joking around. There's even trade negotiations going on as the draft is taking place and as you just heard in that montage before that first pick was announced. And, of course, Brian Allen was picked as the first overall pick. There was a trade between both the green team and the white team to make that whole thing happen. But it's hilarious stuff. You know, just guys just having fun. You got to love it, right? And even D'Antonio, I mean, looking at the footage from yesterday, I mean, he was having a little fun, too. He was chuckling left and right. Also, you had, Travis Trice of the MSU men's basketball team. He was also there. Matt Costello was there. Of course, they are respective captains for both teams. But it's going to be a fun time on Saturday, folks. Again, Saturday is when the spring game will take place. Again, a 2 p.m. kickoff. Doors will be opening. Free admission, free parking on campus. How many times can you say that, right? Free parking. I mean, if I could count on hand just how many tickets I've gotten on this campus, right? But, hey, everything's going to be free. Everything is free on Saturday, folks, as Mark D'Antonio, as I talked about earlier in the week, he's calling all you guys out for. He wants to see at least 50,000 fans packed inside of Spartan Stadium. So we'll see if they can reach that lofty goal. But I want to start by, of course, talking about the MSU football team. Of course, later on in just a sec, we'll be chatting about Joe Nathan. As you just heard in our Quick Hit Headliners, I mean, Joe Nathan is ruled out now for the rest of the season. It looks as though he will need a second surgery now for Tommy John surgery, I should say. But he's, 40-year-old closer. I mean, man, this could really be the end of Joe Nathan's career. We'll chat about Joe Nathan. We'll also chat about, and I'll go on a bit of a rant when it comes to the whole hack-a-shack method in the NBA playoffs. I mean, man, was it tough watching that San Antonio Spurs and LA Clippers game in the waning moments, stopping every 5 minutes to watch DeAndre Jordan go to the free throw line and try to make two free throws. I mean, my goodness. I'll save that rant for later. We'll also have Throwback Thursday, as on this Throwback Thursday, we honor one of the greatest sports broadcasters of all time. You do not want to miss that. We'll have an NBA and NHL playoff wrap-up from last night. And also, yes, tonight is the night, game 4 of the opening round for the Stanley Cup playoffs between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Detroit Red Wings. Can the Red Wings extend this thing to a sizable lead? We'll see. We'll break down that game. Also, take your calls. Our phone lines are open all the way up until 2 p.m. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I want to first invite our outstanding new engineer for WKRS Current Sports. I want to see how this brother is doing. The new man behind the glass, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, Al. Happy MSU just got a new QB, for 2016. I mean,
yeah.
Things are looking good.
Exactly. And speaking of that very notion, Isaac, I mean, this kid can ball. This kid can just flat out play. Of course, Michigan State's football team, they received a verbal commitment from 2016 class quarterback Messiah DeWeaver. First off, how do you like that name, Isaac? Messiah DeWeaver? I mean, you better be good. You better be great, I should say, if your first name's Messiah, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Like,
a lot of pressure.
That takes some guts for his parents to name him that. But, hey, he's right. Living up to it so far, it seems like. Number 8,
yeah.
Pro-style quarterback in the nation, according to Rivals. So, the kid's got a bright future. Well, Messiah's a lot to live up to, though. I mean, that might be a little bit too far, but we'll see. He looks good.
He does. You know, and I got the, on last week's Current Sports, on Current Sports TV, I should say, I actually started the show by talking about Messiah because he had actually moved up his announcement date to, of course, April 22nd, which was yesterday. And it came out late last night that Messiah would be taking his football talents to Michigan State University. But I played a highlight tape of his. Last week was really my first time sitting down and getting to watch his high school highlights. And, man, I mean, this kid, first off, think about him. I mean, he's 6'3". I mean, that's a tall kid. Tall kid, which as a quarterback, it allows you the luxury of seeing over the defense. Anytime you have a tall quarterback, I mean, that just gives you an upper hand of just reading the field. Vision and height go hand in hand at the quarterback position. Also, he's got some girth to him already, and he's a senior. He's still in high school, folks. So just imagine when he goes through Ken Manny's workout program here at Michigan State throughout his 4 years, hopefully 4 years here as a Spartan. I mean, he's already 200 pounds right now. I mean, just imagine what Ken Manny is going to have at his disposal. I mean, he's really going to fine-tune that body already a college body as it is. I mean, 6'3", 200 pounds. Impressive stuff. As Isaac just mentioned, he's the number 8 pro-style quarterback, according to Rivals.com and the entire nation. Also, the number 8 player in the entire state of Ohio, and we all know they are laden with a lot of impressive talent when it comes to high school football, folks. And you know what? You know, this, all of this, you know, talking about the spring game and Messiah DeWeaver committing to MSU, which is very timely for this week, seeing as though the spring game is this Saturday. You know, all you say about the spring game and the reason why, you know, D'Antonio wants a lot of fans at Spartan Stadium for this Saturday is because it's all about atmosphere and it's all about impressing recruits, ladies and gentlemen. The spring game is a big recruiting day. I mean, and looking at, you know, schools like Penn State, Nebraska, Ohio State, which had something near 90,000 folks, you know.
99,000.
How? I mean, that's unbelievable, right? I mean, that's such a big, it sends a big message when it comes to recruits. I mean, just imagine if you are a recruit and you're on the heels of still, you know, bargaining and trying to figure out where you want to take your college football talents. And you walk in at Spartan Stadium, and it has kind of a dull atmosphere. The place is half packed, a few fans here and there, but it's not rowdy at all. And you're sitting there like, okay, this is nice, but what about this other school? They had like 70,000 people packed into their stadium. I mean, just going absolutely insane in the membrane. It will add to the fervor of wooing a recruit if that recruit walks into Spartan Stadium this Saturday afternoon. And sees fans going crazy, Spartan Nation out in full effect. Atmosphere is big. That would rule me if I was a recruit. And I go into a stadium and just see it. I could just imagine the Ohio State recruits walking into their stadium and seeing 99,000 fans packed into that arena. It's like, okay, oh yeah, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this tradition. I want to be a part of the hoopla. I want to be a part of this phenomenon. And, you know, Michigan State certainly has a track record. I mean, they have, what, back-to-back years now where they are ranked, you know, top 5 nationally. They've won a Rose Bowl. They've won a Cotton Bowl. D'Antonio, I mean, my goodness. I mean, this program is leaps and bounds above the majority of the rest of the nation, folks. D'Antonio's done one fantastic job. So the success factor is already there. But, again, you never know what's going through the minds of recruits when they come on campus. So when they do come on campus to visit and they are still on the edge of debating where they want to go, you want to make sure that the atmosphere also woos them. So that's why this weekend is so big. And Messiah DeWeaver talked about, you know, how he's going to start recruiting for MSU now. I mean, this is certainly a big get, 6'3", 200-pound quarterback. Again, number 8 pro-style QB in the nation. The kid can ball out of control. So just that commitment alone could start to raise the eyebrows of other recruits who may be on the tail end of a decision and like, okay, Messiah DeWeaver's over there? Man, I would love to play with him or, so on and so forth. But when looking at it, DeWeaver talked about how he's going to start recruiting for MSU. Looking at Joe Rexroth's article in today's Detroit Free Press, I mean, DeWeaver, according to the interview when questions were being fired at him about his decision to come to Michigan State, he talked about the aspect of recruiting for MSU and wooing other players to come to the program. He mentioned a few names here, two names I want to throw out: Detroit King wide receiver Donnie Corley, and also Washington D.C. running back Abdul Adams. They are highly heralded. I mean, you can go on Rivals.com and see their ranking as well. I mean, but again, you know, this could possibly have a domino effect, and you know, the spring game, you know, is going to be something. Yeah, of course, Spartan Nation, you know, I must say, Spartan Nation travels very well. That's something that really hit me when I went out and covered the Rose Bowl, 2 years ago now, out in Los Angeles, California. And I went out there, and, you know, when we were putting together our current sports TV special, one of the things that really hit me was just how well Spartan Nation travels. Because that was really my first big assignment on away from Michigan State, covering the team. And it was I told myself, I remember I'd be on the plane, I'm sitting there like, okay, I'm really going to be interested to see how many green and white fans we see out here in California. I remember telling Alex Sharrock that. And we went out there, and I remember doing the pep rally right in front of the Staples Center. And we did a kind of a cool feature where we went around talking to different Spartan fans and whatnot. And man, was it packed, completely packed. Spartan Nation is dedicated to its athletics, folks. Point blank, period. The attendance last season, even though, you know, a lot of the press, and a lot of the talk and discussion throughout last year happened to be about that whole Nebraska game where, you know, Michigan State seemed to have it in the bag and then the student section seemed to leave. If there is any quarrel with Michigan State fans in the stands, the thing that constantly seems to come to surface is about the student section. But just fans in general going to the games, that has been something that has really never wavered, at least during my time being a Spartan at Michigan State, graduating in 2012, and bleeding over into, you know, being a journalist now here in the area. I've never seen that waver from the average Spartan fan. I mean, you guys are fantastic. But again, Mark D'Antonio, you know, he understands that, but he also understands that recruits is a big thing. I mean, that's everything when it comes to college athletics. And if you can have a great atmosphere during a spring game, and if fans can woo the final decision of big recruits, you better believe Mark D'Antonio wants you out there. So, I mean, hey, why not? Is looking at the weather, and that's the big thing about, you know, attendance in general when it comes to football. The atmosphere, of course, has to be there, but at the same time, I get why certain fans, and I honestly got to be honest with you. I mean, I kind of understood where the student section was coming from during that Nebraska game. I mean, it was a cold and rainy game. Michigan State seemed like they had it in the bag. If I'm a student on a Saturday night, okay, let's get out of here. Let's go do something else. Let's hit the bar or something. I get that. I get that mentality at the end of the day. But also, I do see the flip side where the program, it looks better if the student section is there. It looks better if there is a packed house throughout the entire football game. I get it. But weather is a big, big factor. Looking at the forecast for this Saturday, it's supposed to be partly cloudy, in the 50s, and scattered thunderstorms, or scattered showers, I should say. Not thunderstorms, but showers. So there is a possibility of rain on Saturday. So, I mean, you know, 50 degrees, it isn't 70 degrees like we saw last weekend, but at the same time, that's not too bad. But let's just say if it was in the 40s or something like that, and you really had to bundle up on Saturday, I could get why the attendance won't reach that mark of 50,000 fans. So, I don't know. That's going to be something that everyone's going to be paying attention to. I'm pretty sure when I'm at the spring game in the press box, tweeting left and right, I will be giving you a play-by-play montage of what exactly is happening in the stands of Spartan Stadium, even though I really don't want to do that. But, hey, you guys would like to know for those that are not attending the game. So, I'll be tweeting that left and right. But, again, spring game equals recruiting day. That's just how it is. This is how it is, folks. So, you know, hey, we'll see, though. And looking at this whole thing also is very interesting because I think DeWeaver is going to be an outstanding player for this team, especially, you know, Connor Cook. He's in his senior year now as quarterback. You know, he's had a really magnificent career. I mean, Rose Bowl championship, Cotton Bowl championship. How about Connor Cook and his evolution over the years here? But when he's gone, who's going to be the quarterback for Michigan State now? You know, I mean, you got Damian Terry, who's still a sophomore right now. You got Tyler O'Connor, Jr., and now you got Messiah DeWeaver coming in, and this kid looks very, very impressive. I mean, it's going to be an interesting quarterback battle during next year's, after next season is done, during that offseason stretch. It's going to be fun to watch, folks. And, you know, one of the big decisions as to why DeWeaver also decided to come to Michigan State, it was because of the Ohio ties, the evident Ohio ties that Mark D'Antonio and his program has had over the years, especially when looking at, you know, his high school of Huber Heights Wayne. You know, Connor Cook, Jarrell Worthy, heck, even, you know, putting a basketball flavor on this thing, Travis Trice also from there. So, at the end of the day, this is a very big get for Coach D, and, you know, hey, you better be reading the paper or keep a close eye on your Twitter feed come next week after the spring game to see if there are any more big commitments from those that are still on the edge of making their decision. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. Let's talk some Tigers now. The Detroit Tigers, folks. Some bad news concerning their closing situation. The Detroit Tigers, they announced that Joe Nathan, folks, he needs Tommy John surgery and will miss the remainder of the year. Now, the 40-year-old closer suffered the injury on Wednesday after exiting a minor league game. After just 10 pitches, Nathan is seventh on the all-time saves list, which ranks the highest in active major league pitchers with 377. Now, first off, we can break this thing down into two categories. First off, what this means for Joe Nathan, and second off, what this means for the Detroit Tigers. Concerning Joe Nathan, again, this is no spring chicken, folks. He is 40 years old. 40 years old. Certainly on the tail end of his baseball career. Now, looking at his career, he missed the entire 2010 season with, yes, Tommy John surgery. So this, he will be undertaking now his second Tommy John surgery. Some pitchers don't even come back after one, let alone two. He struggled the season after that in 2011. He wasn't great last year. You know, he had a 4.81 ERA. He blew seven save opportunities with the Tigers. The writing seems to be on the wall that after Joe Nathan has this surgery, I think his career may be done, folks. I just don't fathom Joe Nathan being a preeminent player in Major League Baseball anymore with this injury. And if it is, if he does decide that, hey, this is it, you know, I'm done, I'm 40 years old, time to hang up my cleats, his career is pretty admirable, you must say, folks, because, you know, he's been one of the better closers throughout this past decade, folks. You know, he had 7 years with the Minnesota Twins, going to four All-Star games, averaging 37 saves per year. Hey, tip your cap to that, right? Impressive stuff. And then looking at it again, as I stated, you know, he's seventh on the all-time saves list with 377 saves. It's a lot of saves, folks. Again, that's tops in active Major League Baseball players right now. So impressive career, folks. Of course, he went to Texas. He had 80 saves. He made an All-Star in 2 years, both times there. I mean, so he's had an impressive career. So for Joe Nathan, for me, if I'm looking at his statistics, I'm looking at, you know, his past history when it comes to injuries. This will be his second Tommy John surgery. He's 40 years old right now. I just don't see Joe Nathan playing any more baseball, which is very unfortunate. But, hey, he's had a very, very impressive career. Now, again, the second conversation, the second layer to this conversation. What does this mean for the Detroit Tigers? Well, you know, looking at the outings that Joaquin Soria has had in the absence of Joe Nathan, hey, folks, Joaquin Soria has been money. I mean, he has been right on, just fantastic. 5 for 5. 5 for 5 in save opportunities. And I said it game by game as Joaquin just continued to have solid outings for the Tigers. I said that, you know, Joaquin Soria is game by game taking the job of Joe Nathan. Point blank, period. I'm not sure if I'm Brad Ausmus, I'm not even sure if Joe Nathan, let's say this injury didn't happen and Joe Nathan returns, you know, sometimes later in this week or next week, the beginning of next week. If he did return, I'm not even sure if I'm Brad Ausmus that I would start Nathan as the starting closer over Joaquin Soria just because of how hot Soria is right now. I don't know if I would do it, folks, because you just, you know, in baseball, it's all about rhythm. It's all about consistency. And right now, looking at the outings that Joaquin Soria has had, I mean, this, he's just in a zone right now. He is in a complete zone. I mean, folks, we're talking about a 1.35 ERA, a .087 batting average against. How impressive is that, right? And he's had a streak of 5 straight 1-2-3 out saves. Joe Nathan wasn't doing that. Come on. I mean, how would you, looking at those solid numbers, how could you ever fathom of putting in Joe Nathan over Joaquin Soria if he had returned? You wouldn't do it. I mean, and I think Brad Ausmus knows that as well. Even if Joe Nathan came back, I think Joaquin's still your guy. Now, looking at this dynamic with Joe Nathan being done now, Joaquin Soria doesn't have to worry about his job. He does not have to worry about the competition of Joe Nathan possibly coming back. Now, the question is, does that help or hurt Joaquin Soria? Because I always say in sports, pressure either makes diamonds or bust pipes. For Joaquin Soria going out there, seeing this golden opportunity to be the starting closer now for the Detroit Tigers because Joe Nathan is hurt, I believe that that pressure of knowing that maybe if Joe Nathan comes back, I may not be the guy, I believe that that pressure forced Joaquin in a way to go out and make sure that he was performing to a high standard. Now, if you don't have that pressure, does Joaquin relax a little bit? He's like, okay, well, nobody's, you know, hey, my job is pretty much safe right now. Does he relax and get too complacent, a little bit too comfortable? We'll see. But right now, I think it's safe to say, when looking at the proof in the pudding, he's 5 for 5 in save opportunities and has been lights out. Right now, Joaquin Soria, hello, you're our new closer. Point blank, period. And again, I believe that, you know, Nathan had already lost his job, folks. I mean, again, you know, 40 years old, he wasn't that impressive. Again, going back to last year's numbers, he wasn't that impressive. And when you have a guy who's hot, you got to ride him. And I think when looking at Brad Ausmus, the mentality of Brad Ausmus, don't forget that throughout Brad Ausmus's career, folks, he was a catcher. Brad Ausmus knows when a pitcher is in a zone. He's not ignorant to that fact, folks. So when looking at Joaquin Soria, I think he's looked at Joaquin Soria and had to say, wow, he's my guy right now, regardless of what happens. I don't care who comes out. He's my guy right now. I don't care if Mariano Rivera came out in the mound. He is my guy because he is that good right now, folks. So we'll see how this progresses right now. Again, the conclusion of this 4-game series for the Tigers and Tigers and Yankees is going on right now. To give you guys a quick score update, the Tigers have a 1-0 lead over the New York Yankees, and they are approaching the second inning as we speak. So we'll give you an update as that game proceeds. What do you think about the loss of Joe Nathan? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Really quickly, Isaac, do you like this? Of course you don't. I mean, you can't. With Joe Nathan going down, you certainly got a feel for the guy. But do you think this hurts the Tigers in any way?
No, you have to go with who's hot. And Soria has been pitching out of his mind.
Right.
So if somebody's hot, I mean, to bring it back to the NBA a little bit, Pop does that every game. He plays who's best and not who's playing the best at the time, not who the best player is. And it's worked well for them. Other managers do it in other sports. And, I mean, that's how you have to coach, in my opinion.
I agree. I agree 100%. Again, folks, phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, speaking of the NBA playoffs, you'll get my thoughts on the dreaded hack-a-shack method. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Yeah, we saw last night, of course, between the Spurs and the Clippers. We'll also chat about the Wings and Lightning game 4 tonight. Who wins it? All of that, including Throwback Thursday and so much more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Thursday, April 23rd. I hope you all are out there having a fantastic Thursday. Just, again, a quick score update. The Detroit Tigers, they have a 1-0 lead in the top of the second against the New York Yankees, the final game of that 4-game series. Also, how about this? Kawhi Leonard, he has won the NBA Defensive Player of the Year. Of course, San Antonio Spurs. Small forward, and of course, there's a kind of a local tie to that award this year because Golden State Warriors forward and former Michigan State standout Draymond Green, yeah, he was also in the running for that award. He just edged out Green, actually, who had 317 points, even though he earned 45 first-place votes to Leonard's 37. Leonard actually had 333 points, so Green, almost winning that award. Could have definitely seen either one of those players actually winning that award along with Los Angeles Clippers center DeAndre Jordan. Isaac, did they get that one right? You agree with Kawhi?
You know, I wouldn't have unless the Spurs didn't go on that great 11-1 run to close out the season. Mm-hmm. You know, so the Spurs, I mean, they ended up getting the 6th seed, but they had the same record as the 2 seed. I mean, no, I have to say, I do agree, and watching the Warriors-Pelicans series, Draymond Green has played great defense on Anthony Davis, but I think the best defender on that team, and I know this might be heresy saying this on this campus, but I think it's Andrew Bogut.
Really?
I think he makes the wheels go round.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, you may get some hate mail after this show, Isaac, but hey, just throw it in the trash. It's all right. It's all right. It's all good. I feel you, though. Andrew Bogut is a heck of a defender as well. So, yeah, but yeah, congrats to Kawhi Leonard. I think he's a fantastic, fantastic defender. Also, this news just came through about 48 minutes ago. Phoenix Mercury standout player Brittany Griner. You guys know Brittany Griner. I mean, she was just an absolute beast in college. I believe she hooped for Baylor, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah, she was unbelievable. But she and fellow WNBA player Glory Johnson have been arrested on suspicion of assault and disorderly conduct following a fight at their home in a Phoenix suburb. Now, the two are dating. They're both 24 years old. They were booked into jail in Phoenix following their arrest Wednesday and released Thursday morning. Agents for the players did not immediately respond to request for comment. Well, actually, not even just, that's not even girlfriend. They're actually fiance, Brittany Griner and Glory Johnson. They're actually engaged. So how about that? That's a crazy story. Okay, moving on. Let's talk about something that really perturbed me last night. Really grinded my gears. Really got under my skin. Oh, boy. Of course, during the San Antonio Spurs and Los Angeles Clippers game last night, as that game, you know, which was a really tightly contested game, it went into overtime. When the again, during the last minutes of that fourth quarter, even into overtime, there has been a method that many NBA teams have used over the years, starting with Coach Nelson back in the day. It was dubbed as the Hack-a-Shack. Now, if you don't know what that is, if you're trying to, you know, have a scoring edge throughout, you know, the waning moments of a game, you know, you play the percentage game at the end of the day. That is just, it's just weighing the percentages. Actually, if you look at even the highest scoring teams in the NBA, even the highest scoring teams, folks, they only average about 1.1 points per possession. So it's playing the odds. If you're up or and you don't want the team to come back, or if you're down and you're trying to get on a scoring run, what you do is you intentionally foul the worst free throw shooter on the court, make that individual go to the line and shoot free throws. Hey, you know, speaking, you know, if it's a guy like Shaquille O'Neal, who is among the worst free throw shooters in NBA history, you have a pretty good chance. And you can weigh the odds of possibly having that individual miss two free throws or even split them. So I get it. I get it from a competitive standpoint. If you are trying to come back in a game, or if you are trying to shield off a scoring run from an opposing team, why not play the percentage game and induce the Hack-a-Shack method? But for me, it's so frustrating because you guys know I'm a big NBA guy. I'm a big NBA fan. I watch just about every game that I can, at least, throughout an NBA season. This is one of my favorite times of the year, the NBA playoffs. You got two of the league's best, the defending NBA champion, San Antonio Spurs, going against the Los Angeles Clippers. Both teams are so entertaining to watch. The game is coming down to the nitty-gritty. Both teams going back and forth, scoring. You're seeing the superstar step up. Tim Duncan, he's old as Methuselah. He's coming up and hitting shots left and right. And then it stops. Because Greg Popovich induces the Hack-a DeAndre Jordan method and puts him on the line. So after every San Antonio Spurs possession, you have to go up and watch DeAndre Jordan shoot two free throws. So a game that, you know, that game didn't end until, what, near 2 a.m. last night. I'm still wiping the crust out my eyes. But my goodness, all of that action just slows down. And I got to be honest, it is a turnoff for fans of the game. Point blank period. I hate it. Isaac, what are your thoughts on this method? Because it just irks to my soul and my core to see this happen throughout a game, especially when you have two teams that are so formidable and so entertaining to watch.
Well, Al, I think, you know, by a statistical standpoint, like you mentioned, it does make sense.
It's
unfortunate, but it does. The Clippers' offensive efficiency is around 109, which means for every 100 possessions, they score 109 points. So when DeAndre Jordan shoots 36% from the line like he did last game, that is a lot, you know, lower of an average than, you know, he would if he shot 59%. That's what it would take to, you know, make the Hack-a-Shaq or Hack-a-Jordan strategy totally irrelevant. But the NBA needs to do something to stop it.
I agree.
Because the coaches, it does make sense, but it hurts the game. It really does. It makes it slower, which is one of the great things about the NBA, how fast-paced, upbeat it is. That's why we love the 24-second shot clock.
Right.
And the Hack-a-Shaq strategy slows it down. It does hurt the game, and the NBA needs to do something about it.
I agree with you, Isaac. And the next question ensues with that, you know, something needs to be done about it. I totally agree. Is how do you change it? That's the question. What do you enact? What rule do you enact to stop this from happening? And for me, I've always debated about this for years now, you know, in casual conversations with sports fans out there, like myself. And when looking at it, I think that there's this method will be fantastic. If, you know, you don't allow, this is the thing, if you're going to stop this from happening in the NBA, you can't allow intentional off-the-ball fouling. Or if you do, issue a technical foul. That has to be handed down. I think if you're going to stop this, the only way that you can enact some form of a Hack-a-Shaq is if that player has the ball. Then you can intentionally foul him. You know what I mean? Because that also, because there are times when you need to intentionally foul because you want to put that team on the line to have a chance at coming back. But the only way you do that should be if that player has the basketball. Point blank, period. You can't allow just somebody to go down the court and just hack DeAndre Jordan, and he doesn't even have the ball, not even really involved in the play, and put that individual on the line. That's really the only way I can see you combat that. If you do that, you get punished in having your opposing team go to the line and shoot a technical foul free throw. What do you think of that, Isaac?
I love that idea because the thing is, you know, teams try the Hack-a-Howard strategy as well.
Right.
And guys who are typically fouled intentionally off ball are really strong players. So when they're fouled with the ball in the post, which is the only place they'll have the ball, they can throw it up and sometimes hit it. And that's the danger with fouling Howard when he has the ball. So I think that evens the playing field. And I think when a player has the ball, it makes sense like to consider, well, they might make the shot. And in that case, we're just hurting ourselves.
No, I definitely agree with you folks, Isaac, and I want to encourage folks out there listening. What do you think about the 517-355-9527? Because when looking at that last night's game as well, I mean, there was even a brief stretch where DeAndre Jordan, I believe during one time down the court, where he actually hit both free throws, and it almost really cost the Spurs that game. I mean, it put him, and the Spurs had the lead. They were just playing the odds and hoping that it weighed out in their favor. Now, it's really interesting because, you know, Greg Popovich, again, of the San Antonio Spurs, head coach of the San Antonio Spurs, he has used the Hack-a-Shaq strategy successfully. This is not his first rodeo in doing this, because I actually got a few tweets last night when I was voicing my displeasure of what I was seeing on the television that, oh, Greg Pop has never done this. Why is he doing this? No. What? Are you kidding me? Greg Popovich is one of the pioneers of the Hack-a-Shaq strategy. If you remember, let's go back in time to 2008. He successfully, in Game 5 of the Spurs' first-round series against Shaquille O'Neal in the Phoenix Suns, Spurs coach Greg Popovich had his players intentionally foul Shaquille O'Neal, who was a 52% career free-throw shooter throughout the game. He finished 9 of 20 from the free-throw line, dropping the Suns to 20 of 37 total on free throws. The Suns, of course, were eliminated from the playoffs in a 92-87 Spurs win. So Greg has been doing it since 2008. In May of 2008, that same year, I mean, this is from ESPN columnist John Hollinger. He named the Spurs Hack-a-Shaq use as the best tactic of the first two rounds of the 2008 NBA playoffs. Hollinger wrote that Pop was the first to really master how to use this weapon to his advantage. He explained that Greg used the tactic to eliminate three-point attempts and with 25 seconds or less at the end of quarters to get the ball back for the Spurs to gain the last possession. Hollinger stated, quote, "This should be a eureka moment for other coaches, and I expect it will be in the league's most widely copied tactic next year." So it's been Spop has been doing this and has been a pioneer of this dating all the way back to 2008. I don't like it. I hope the NBA changes it. But who knows? Who knows if they will? Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll have Throwback Thursday for you, folks. A pretty cool Throwback Thursday honoring one of the greatest sports broadcasters of all time. You don't want to miss that. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. What is up, beautiful people? Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all that, hey, today is Thursday. You know what Thursday is. That's right. Thursday night at 10 p.m., each and every Thursday night at 10 p.m., Current Sports TV airs on your televisions. That is right. And tonight on WKAR-TV, I have the privilege of sitting down with the man, the myth, the legend, Jesse Goldberg Strassler, his first time of course, joining me on Current Sports TV. Jesse and I will talk about his really interesting book had been in the works for quite some time and is now on bookshelves as we speak. He also is in the process, I believe, of writing another one. He has actually written the baseball encyclopedia when it comes to wordage, in the game of baseball, and he'll talk about his career and so much more, folks. You don't want to miss that. That's tonight at 10 p.m. on your televisions, WKAR-TV. If that's a little too late and you can't stay up late, hey, there's something called a DVR. That's right, just record it, watch it later, or hey, we'll post it on our website at video.wkar.org. So you can catch that episode online after it airs, or any episode that we've done in Current Sports TV history. Well, each and every Thursday here on Current Sports Radio, we love to bring to you a segment entitled Throwback Thursday, where we hop into our current sports time machine and take a look at what exactly happened in sports history on this particular Thursday. Here we go.
That the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman, back over his step. Into the spot for Brown. Shoots, yes. Goal! And there it goes! You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
Ah, yes, there is nothing, and I do mean nothing, like taking a trip down memory lane and witnessing some great old sports history, right? Oh, boy, fantastic stuff. Well, it is Throwback Thursday here on Current Sports. What exactly happened on this particular date in sports history? Well, today is, April 23rd, 2015. Let's take you back to 1950, a pretty cool local tie here in 1950. The Detroit Red Wings, they defeated the New York Rangers 4-3 in the seventh game of the Stanley Cup Finals. I know many of you Detroit Red Wings fans out there will be pulling for your respective squad tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning in the, of course, the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. But again, on this date, 1950, the Wings defeating the Rangers to win the Stanley Cup Finals in the seventh game. All right, 1954, the 24-second clock was adopted by the National Basketball Association. Oh, boy. That's an historic day, right? Because, there's constant debates when it comes to the college game on whether or not the shot clock should be dwindled down from 35 seconds down to 24 seconds to mimic that of the NBA. Many people feel as though a shot clock should be adopted, period, when it comes to high school hoops right here in Michigan. I definitely am I'm rooting for that, I should say. So, 1954, the 24-second shot clock adopted by the National Basketball Association. All right, let's take it to 1964. The first no-hit loss in baseball history was recorded by a 1-0 Cincinnati victory in 1970. Governor Nelson Rockefeller, he signed into law a bill allowing off-track betting in New York. Interesting. All right. 1977, Seattle SLU won the Wood Memorial at Aqueduct Racetrack. His sixth consecutive win and his third win of the year. How about that? Seattle SLU. Legendary stuff there. All right, and taking it to 1995, longtime broadcaster, Howard Cosell, sadly passed away at the age of 77.
For the past year, he's been virtually incarcerated in this country. He's undergone all of this for the obvious reason that he didn't have the courage to fight such as Joe Frazier, Jerry Quarry, and Jimmy Ellis.
Why would you say that? I didn't have the courage to fight Joe Frazier and Jimmy Ellis and Jerry Quarry. I mean, why would you say that? I mean, you know, I've never showed no fear of nobody. And why would you, as many times as you have came to my fights, knowing you had money bet on other people, I beat them. I mean, why would you, seriously, I mean, why would you sit here on television and talk about me being afraid of Jerry Quarry or Joe Frazier? I mean, that's wrong. I mean, we just don't get along no kind of way.
And you've been spreading that kind of gospel at every college campus in this country.
Every college that I go to, everybody asks me about Howard Cosell. Why is it that you and Howard Cosell can't get along? And my answer is, we just don't get along. I mean, you just talk a lot of stuff that don't make sense. I mean, why would you open up the show and you told me you were going to ask me a few nice questions. Why would you open up the show talking about I'm afraid of Joe Frazier and Jerry Quarry? You really believe that they have a chance against me?
Well, I think
you come to all of my fights. You follow me all over the world, Germany, London, Canada, I've see you at ringside talking about these homemade champions. And then, do you really believe they could beat me?
I'll answer that question in a moment. I first want to document your record. You were troubled by a less than mediocre southpaw named Mildenberger in Germany. You showed me nothing against Shavallo, relying upon the fact that he gave you water on the knees with low blow upon.
You've never seen me hurt a beat. What you mean I didn't show you nothing? that's the kind of appreciation I get from you coming all over the world. The company wouldn't pay your way to these countries for nothing. If I wasn't fighting so regular, you wouldn't have gotten to see the world. And now you're going to down me because I'm not fighting and talk about I got trouble with these boys. I beat those boys easy.
Now, wait a minute. This marvelous wristwatch. What were you frightened of? I wasn't going to hit you. Why did you move?
Oh, how about that? How legendary is that, right? That was actually an interview between, of course, legendary sports broadcaster Howard Cosell and Muhammad Ali. You know, it was very interesting to look at the relationship between an athlete and a journalist at the time, of course, being Howard Cosell, and just to see the fun banter between the two, both individuals not taking themselves too serious, and a real friendship developing between those two. I mean, it's rare in sports, especially in nowadays, because every athlete feels as though the media is out to get them and trying to tarnish their name and so on and so forth. But, you know, it's so rare when you see a journalist develop a genuine friendship with an athlete that he or she covers. And back in the day, I mean, that wasn't heard of back in the day as well. And really, Muhammad Ali and Howard Cosell are one of the examples of that interesting relationship. But again, Howard Cosell, he was an American sports journalist who was widely known for his really, you know, blustery personality. He actually even referred to himself as, quote, arrogant, pompous, obnoxious, vain, cruel, verbose, and a show-off. There's no question that I'm all those things, end quote. And in its obituary for Cosell, the New York Times described Cosell's impact on sports coverage as, quote, he entered sports broadcasting in the mid-1950s when the prominent style was unabashed adulation, offered a brassy counterpoint that was first ridiculed, then copied until it became the dominant note of sports broadcasting. How about that? He is certainly someone that when I knew that I wanted to go into this industry, he was an individual that I would look at old tapes of and really just admire his work when I was really just studying the greats and how to do this whole gig. And Howard Cosell, he is one of those individuals that is constantly brought up in many sports broadcasting classes now into really the end of days. So again, on this day in sports history in 1995, longtime broadcaster Howard Cosell sadly died at the age of 77. Also, folks, to keep the list moving on here, we do have a few more. Let's go to 2005. The San Francisco 49ers, they selected Utah quarterback Alex Smith with the first pick in the NFL draft. Of course, the NFL draft is coming up in now just 7 days. April 30th will be that date. Also, in 2012, NFL safety Brian Dawkins, he announced his retirement. 2012, Horse of the Year Javier DeGrace retired after suffering an ankle injury In 2013, Indiana Pacers swingman Paul George was named the NBA's most improved player for the 2012-13 season. And we have a few birthdays today as well. Warren Spahn, who was born in 1921, he's a Hall of Fame pitcher. Gail Goodrich, born in 1943, NBA player. Andrew Jones, MLB player, born in 1977. Todd Pinkston, in 1977, he's an NFL player. Sam Madison, NFL player, born in 1974. Tony Esposito, 1943, NHL player. So how about that? A very intriguing Throwback Thursday for you folks. Again, Throwback Thursday here on Current Sports, where we look at what happened on this day in sports history. Well, Wings and Lightning, Game 4 tonight at the Joe, downtown Detroit. Who wins? That's the big question now, because, the Wings, they have now corralled a 2-1 series lead. Big question for me tonight, of course, can Peter Mrazek keep up this fantastic debut in the NHL playoffs? Of course, he had a bit of a stumble in Game 2. Fantastic outing in Game 1. But, and looking at Game 3, though, I mean, that was his fourth shutout in 14 starts dating back to February 5th, in which he's gone 7-5-1 with a .935 save percentage. How impressive is that? Also, will the Lightning return to form? Because don't forget, folks, don't sleep on the fact that the Tampa Bay Lightning are a team that did average a little over 3 goals per game, 3.16 to be exact. So it wouldn't surprise me that, the Lightning have fine-tuned their mentality and are going to come out very, very aggressive tonight. Hey, I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa Bay takes this game handily tonight. But the big question is goaltending. That's what it comes down to. Ben Bishop versus Peter Mrazek. Can Peter Mrazek continue the fantastic outing that he's had in these playoffs so far? Steve Stamkos. That guy, that man has a big target on his back. He is the go-to scoring juggernaut for the Tampa Bay Lightning, and he has not played well throughout this series. And it, what's so amazing is if you look at the shot advantage that the Tampa Bay Lightning have over the Detroit Red Wings throughout this series. I mean, folks, we're talking about a 98-59. Again, 98-59 shot advantage so far. So Mrazek has been taking a lot of heat, but he's been dealing with it a lot better than Mr. Ben Bishop. And also quick starts. I think that's something that hasn't been talked about much throughout this series that has to be noted. The Wings usually win when they get off to a quick start and can score early. How about Pavel Datsyuk, huh? He has actually given the Red Wings the lead in the first period, 2 games so far throughout the 3 games that have been played. Going to be a fun game. If I had to choose, though, folks, I got to go with Tampa Bay. I got to go with Tampa Bay tonight. I'll throw out a score here. I'll say Tampa Bay wins 4-2 tonight in Game 4. But, hey, I would not be surprised. This Wings team certainly surprised me last game, and I certainly ate my words. We'll see if that happens on tomorrow's Current Sports. I want to give a special shout-out to you. That's right, our listeners who tuned in today. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Again, tune in to Current Sports TV with my guest, Jesse Goldberg Strassler, the voice, the play-by-play voice for the Lansing Lugnuts. Again, that's at 10 p.m. tonight on WKAR-TV. As always, take care. Have one fantastic rest of your afternoon. And hey, be easy, people.